expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 414, the second stanza. But thou, Jehovah, art a shield about my heart, my hope and sure deliverance. And what's following, the second 415. Congregation, the reading of God's holy and infallible word can be found in the second chapter of the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2. But before the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith, and afterwards the heading, the first heading of the Dortskens, the first chapter, and then the articles 5 and 6. So the first heading of the Dutch canons, and then the articles 5 and 6.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The scripture reading is Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Article 5. The cause or guilt of this unbelief, as well as of all other sins, is no wise in God, but in man himself. Whereas faith in Jesus Christ and salvation through him is the free gift of God, as it is written, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Ephesians 2 verse 8. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, etc. Philippians 1 verse 29. Article 6. That some receive the gift of faith from God and others do not receive it proceeds from God's eternal decree. For known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15 verse 18. Who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1 verse 11. According to which decree he graciously softens the hearts of the elect, however obstinate, and inclines them to believe, while he leaves the non-elect in his just judgment to their own wickedness and obduracy. And herein is especially displayed the profound, the merciful, and at the same time the righteous discrimination between men equally involved in ruin. Or that decree of election and reprobation revealed in the word of God, which, though men of perverse, impure, and unstable minds rest to their own destruction, yet to holy and pious souls affords unspeakable consolation.
Let's pray. Yes, Lord, unspeakable consolation, free and sovereign grace displayed in thy word, applied by thy spirit, a free gift, unconditional given, and not out of us. It's thy gift. Oh, that those who don't know how to deal with the election might not be angry, but have hope that only grace is a gift through faith in thy dear Son, free and sovereign, is able to save our souls. We always want to accuse thee. We did it in paradise, and we said, the woman thou hast given us, a wrong one. She did it, or the devil. But like it started with the first article, our mouth should be stopped, and the whole world become abominable in thy sight. What a wonder that thy sovereign grace loved and has loved thy own people. Lord, that we all might belong to it. If it's without a condition, that we all might belong to it. Remember the sick and afflicted, the young man, the farmer, when he fell. Be with him at home, especially when he can do his job and he might get some help. We pray for the other sick and afflicted, those who have to go to hospital this week, or others in wards. We think about Bernard, who we saw last week. Lord, 3.5 years, he says, it's long. But we pray that thou would heal him, that one day he might be in his own house again, clear in mind, stable in walk. And thou art mighty to do it by grace alone. We pray for Drugus in the old age home, lonely, very lonely sometimes. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would comfort him, and that also his journey once comes to an end. Remember others when they are cared for at home. Be with the family who's caring. Lord, remember us all. For the world passes by, but thy goodwill is forever. And those by true conversion and faith in thee will believe, will have eternal life. For thou art the God of the living. Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, they are not dead. Thou hast said to thy disciples, he is the God of the living. They live. And their bodies are sleeping, waiting for the day to come. You remember the families in anguish and things too heavy to carry. Give us this week when we have to make a double. The man after thy heart to serve in the ministry of elder in due time. Remember the elder who declined and gave up his office. And Lord, above all, that this moment Thou would give us grace to open the Scriptures, to explain, but the application is Thine. Minister to us, please, unworthy, vile sinners, only for Christ's sake. Remember the world around us. When in the United States a new president has to be chosen, Thou knowest the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, as in a moment. Lord, have mercy upon our country, our prime minister and other in government. Direct this country like Thou hast done in the past, in Thy ways. Remember the church in which we stayed, and the students educated, and the ministers preparing, the congregations in the times when many are leaving the church. But there will be a church, rest after election, the rest of grace. Extend it in the hearts of our young people. Draw them nigh in today, out of themselves. We ask all these things for mercy's sake, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Congregation, the Dort's Canons, and you know, and I've said it, and let's say it again. It all started with disagreement from the Remonstrants against question and answer 8 of the Heidelberg Catechism, where the Catechism says, are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Do you believe that? that you're wholly incapable to any good and inclined to all wickedness. It gives an inner resistance, isn't it? And the remonstrance protested. Remonstrant means protester against this doctrine, because the answer is indeed we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. And for 2 years they were not saying yes or no, they were searching the scriptures, given the answer. And that's what I want to underline. It's not just saying, this is the doctrine of the church and therefore keep your mouth. They went for 2 years through the scriptures and said, what does the Bible say about these things? And then there were five headings concerning the Reformed doctrines called resting in the Word of God. And I want to say it again for our young people, it is given by the word tulip. And tulip, T-U-L-I-P. And for every letter, it's a doctrine. And what's the first? Total depravity. Death in trespasses and sin. What can a man do that's under judgment and death? Total depravity. Unconditional election. God doesn't elect because of faith, foreseen, or any good thing in man. God doesn't say, yes, you have faith and therefore I elect you. No, he elects and gives faith as a fruit. We have read it in Ephesians chapter 2. You, by grace you are saved through faith. And that of you, not of you, it's a gift of God. I come to it. Limited atonement. The Lord Jesus didn't die for the whole world, although his sacrifice is enough, and I come to it in the Dort's Canons, for the whole world. One of our Puritans said, even for 10,000 worlds, the blood of Christ, the Son of God. But he prays only for those who are given him by the Father. Limited atonement. It doesn't say yes, you or no. That's another question. But we see it. The preaching has never reached all the heathens. It is limited atonement. And even the wise and the foolish teaches us these things, the parable. I, irresistible grace. If God wants to give grace, he gives you grace. And you might fight it, but you lose the battle. Grace is irresistible. Do you think that you can resist God in grace? The remonstrants believe it, that you can just say no to God. You can't say no to God. If God says yes to you, he gets you. Irresistible grace. And ultimately, in the last five, the fifth, is perseverance of saints. Where God works in a soul, he never lets you down. He keeps up with you. Is that not a wonder? I can't keep up with him, but he keeps up with me, poor sinner. Now that's perseverance of saints. It looks like if we persevere, but that's not, you'll find it when we explain, it's God that perseveres with us, therefore it's perseverance of saints. That's the fifth. Now we have sometimes in the United States, they say we have three articles. We believe three articles. We are 3-point Calvinists. Do you believe so? Then you're not a Calvinist. You're a Calvinist for five, or you're not a Calvinist. You can't be a half Calvinist. I've never heard about it. No, 5 points. Tulip. And I make it easy for the young people. You know a tulip? The Dutch flower, although it came from the United States, eh? They took it from here. But tulip. Total depravity. Unconditional election. Limited atonement. Irresistible grace. And perseverance of saints. I hope it might be understood proper and experienced too. But let's first sing 284, 1, 2, and 3. 284, 1, 2, and 3. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker. When all within me bless his holy name. 1, 2, and 3. 284. the cause of sin and unbelief. What's the cause? Who's guilty for it? And you know already in paradise, Adam said, it's the wife thou hast given me. He didn't say it's the wife. He says, the wife thou hast given me is thy own cause, thy guilt. Thou shouldn't have given me this wife. Then it wouldn't have happened. We always want to make God guilty for our sins. If Adam hadn't fallen and God allowed it, God did allow it, didn't he? And then I heard some catechism young people saying, and I would never have allowed it. Already Calvin was attacked by people when he spoke about the counsel of grace, the eternal counsel of God, that all was already in the counsel of God before it happened. And then his opponent said, and therefore you say that sin is in the counsel of God. He willed it. That's reasoning. And a human mind always reasons like it. We don't want to be guilty. We always want someone else, ultimately God, to be guilty. Not to save me. For sin and unbelief. But Calvin says, as an answer to these objections, he says, but man was not obliged to sin. He was not obliged to sin. He wasn't. I have to go back to paradise and see in the state of righteousness or in the state of innocence, God created the man with a free will. Now not anymore. We're bound now. Bondage of the will. Luther has written the best book he ever wrote about the bondage of the will. If you ever can get it, please take it and read it. But that's after sin. In paradise we were free. Love to God can only live by liberty. And we were in paradise to love God, for He first loved us. And love is not obliged, it's the gift. It's a gift. You can't say to me, you have to love your wife and therefore marry. No. You love your wife. It's a natural gift. And marry her. Love is not the fruit of the law, but of goodness. So in paradise we were free, in the state of innocence. And do you know what we did? We heard to the devil and willfully transgressed the law of God by eating what only belongs to him. And I'm not going into details, but we listened willfully and sins every day to the voice of the devil. Huntington says, he carries us to hell if God doesn't intervene. And that's true. But the Romans now I go a bit deeper. The Remonstrant said, that doctrine of election makes people lazy and ungodly. And now I have to go through a difficult portion otherwise, but I have to do it. In the first place, God does everything according to His counsel. God has first a counsel, a decree, and then He does it. We sometimes do it and think about it later. That's man. But God does it after He had thought about it, or had a counsel of His will, says Paul. We come to it. Therefore, all things that are happening are according to the counsel of His will. There's nothing that happens which was not in the counsel of God. We can also say decree. But now the next question, and you know that on the Dutch Synod there were two kinds of Reformed theologians. They were all one. But their ideas about the counsel of God were different. They thought in election, listen, I will say it again. In election, God saw the people before the fall. He elected them already before they were fallen. And He allowed the sin to have mercy upon His people. Do you understand, or is it wrong? Now, it's not wrong, but is it difficult? So in the counsel of God, the supralapsarians said God elected the people before they were fallen. To be honest to you, that's what I believe. But the Synod of Dort had an infralapsarian idea about the council of election. They said God elected the people looking at them after fall as sinners. Now the Remonstrants said to the supralapsarians, they said, listen, now I know what you're saying. So God allowed the fall, it was according to His will, the fall of man. And they make Him the originator of sin. But that's not it. God allowed it. For man was given to have a free will in the state of righteousness. Can you see? Pastor, you're difficult today, yeah. Let me be difficult. If I'm not difficult, I'm not speaking the word of God. And even now I have to take my shoes out of my feet, because the ground on which I walk is holy ground. We have not to go into deep into these things. We should be careful. So the Remonstrant said, with this doctrine, God allowing sin, you make God the originator of sin. No! God allowed it. But He didn't push them to sin. And from the evil He made good. In the Synod of Arnhem, you had regional synods, eh? You had the national synod and you had regional synods, eh? And the regional synod of Gelderland, and Arnhem was the capital, the Remonstrant said this, 28th of July, 1816. They said, they were already there, eh? They said in that regional synod, he said this. They said the Reformed teaching is this. God obliged man to sin. And therefore he is the cause of sin himself. And even people among us sometimes say that God is the cause of sin. I've heard it here and in the congregation. Wrong. Deadly wrong. The Renaissance say so. But therefore answers Article 5 and say, no, the cause or guilt of unbelief is not in God. They justify God. But in man himself. In me and you. Not in God. God doesn't know evil. He's only good. Now I say something again of Augustine. Augustine. Pastor, you're making it difficult today. But do you know what Augustine said? He said, sin against the will of God nevertheless not outside of his will. Sin is against the will of God, but not outside his will by allowing it. He didn't make, let's for our young children make it clear. God didn't make a train on a rail by which you have always to go the same path and you're not. That's not human, that's mechanic. But he created the man in love to serve him freely. He didn't create us in it on a rail, putting on the button and then forward and putting on the other button and going backward. And he created the man in his image with love and fear of him, resting and relying on him. And so we are. If we are back there, you're free. This first. Then secondly, this article says, whereas faith in Jesus Christ and salvation through him is the free gift of God, as it's written, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Now he speaks about the fallen sinner, our confession, and says, yeah, I have to go back again. Sorry. The Remonstrant said that God has chosen the believer. We call it with a foreseen face. God knew who would believe. And the believer is chosen. So the condition for election is my faith. And the Remonstrant believed that we can believe by ourselves, make a choice. That's what you hear today, eh? Make a choice, make a choice. You have already made a choice. You can make a different choice. You're dead in trespasses and sins. What do you mean by it, Pastor? Well, in election, grace precedes faith. You're not believing and having faith afterwards. No, you first get grace and then faith. That's what Paul says in this chapter. Ephesians 2:8, I think. For by grace you're saved. Through faith. faith is a fruit of grace. It's all of God. And therefore you can be converted. If it's by you, it's over and out. Dead sinner. First grace. Now in the original language, grace means, and I have explained it several times, grace means this. God bends to a sinner on the floor that is not worthy to be a child of God. That's grace. He sees the lost. And I'm not going speaking about supra or infralapsalism. That's first grace. And grace in the sight of God, that's undeserved goodness. That's grace. And God wants to be gracious, and therefore, through faith as a means, faith is not a condition, it's a means, it's a middle to receive what God gives. So first grace, not first faith, that's remonstrance, but first grace and then faith. First from the side of God, and then as an instrument given to you, it's a gift of God. For by grace you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. I've spoken this morning about the babes. Oh, babes, and that not of yourself. No, eh? Not of yourself, eh? No, eh? Yeah, yourself? No, eh? No. It's a gift of God. Ah. For such an unwilling and hard sinner. Grace, faith, a gift of God. Oh. And therefore, now you know the whole scripture, sir. Out of him, through him, and unto him are all things. Not out of you. Since fall, you're an enemy of God. And you're not making the right choice. You have chosen already. Against God. But the wonder is that God chooses his own. That's election. And I speak about the decree and counsel, but I always like to speak to you better about election is love. For I have loved Jacob with an eternal love. Now I come back. If God would have the whole world be lost, was it righteous? But now in mercy by grace, through faith, in Christ Jesus, you're saved, says Paul. And that out of you, it's the gift of God. It's all a gift, a free gift, a sovereign gift. Of grace alone. And therefore, congregation, for unto us is it given, Philippians 1:29, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him. One important question for the remonstrance was all, and you see it today, that's responsibility. When they preach the free will, they always point to responsibility. They say you're responsible. And out of that responsibility, they say you can believe. because they don't believe in the deadness, the total depravity of man. They believe after fallen man is sick, but not dead. Now I'm going to you, and now we're going to sing this. If you have grasped it yourself, I stood with many dead, dying people, and I've seen them plucking at the sheets. And I've seen them. You know what happens if you pass away? If you got it yourself, you'll lose it. If he has it for you, you'll never lose it. It's a gift of God, of grace, through faith. And the Renaissance believe that you have to be born again by your own faith, and then you can lose your rebirth, and then you have to be born again and again and again. They teach that you can be born again for 3 times. But it's not true. It's a gift of God. And what God gives, he never asks back. Do you think God gives it today and tomorrow he says, give it back to me? Do you think so? People say, now I have faith and tomorrow I don't. I said, then you have no faith. Never had faith. Might be dwindling down, might be attacked. But it's a little glowing point. And if the Spirit blows in it, flames are flaming again. I have sometimes spoken to a child of God and says, Pastor, I lost my faith. I said, are you sure? Are you sure? Say it again then to me. I lost my faith. Oh, Pastor, I don't dare. I said, okay. You can't lose it if God holds it for you. Now then we come to the perseverance of saints. You see that all these doctrines are knit together. You can't be 3 points Calvinist, then you are not a Calvinist. If it's a gift of God, he perseveres with you till you come home in the mansion of the Father. Let's sing now. It's 345, 1 and 2. 345, 1 and 2. To the hills I lift my eyes. Whence shall help for me arise? From the Lord shall come my aid. There you have it. Who the heavens and earth has made. And what's following? 1 and 2. 345. Dutch canons are not just doctrines. It's religion, true religion. It's practical and pietistic. Not everyone would agree, but it's true. The Dutch canons are not just dogmas. There are dogmas, truth of the scriptures, but it's experimentally, and I come to it. Why is the one given faith and the other not? Some receive the gift of faith from God and others do not receive. Why is it? It proceeds from God's eternal decree. Now I hear you already and saying that's not righteous. How do you know? Do you know what's righteous? To let everyone go. That's righteous. Some people say if he gives the one and he doesn't give the other, that's not righteous. Do you know what's righteous? To give it no one. So it's gracious that he gives it to his own. Yeah, but second, in theology we place sometimes man in the center and we judge God. That's our theology, man. But in biblical theology, what the Bible says, God is in the center. And do you know what he says? I'm the potter. Am not I allowed to make the one vessel to honor and the other to common use? The vessels in the temple sprayed with blood and water, sanctified, and the others for common use? See, God is sovereign. We always want to bring God for our judgment seat. But if we are brought for the judgment seat of God, our mouths are closed and we are not arguing anymore, then it's over. That's first article, you know? Some weeks ago, first article. That every man's mouth should be closed. Stop it, arguing. And see it as a wonder. And now I am opening a bit, and I said, how do you know that you're not chosen? How do you know? It's all by grace. From God's eternal decree. And I already said that God does the things after he has decreed it, had a council. Therefore, there are promises in the Bible. God says, so it will go, and I will send. 600 years before Christ was born, there was a promise to Isaiah 53, and it says, my son is already born. Why? God says it, and he does it. We call it prophetic perfectum. In the prophetic language, it has already happened in God. A son is born and is given to us. You should teach the Bible, Pastor. I'm trying. For God, all things have happened already. In his thoughts. And because he's eternal in his deeds. Therefore, Augustine said, the world, the day the world was created, it's the same day in God that Christ returns. But you don't understand it. You make God a man, and you bring him in the timeline, But in God, everything are at once. Stop it, Pastor. Okay, I'm stopping it. But you should think about it before you reason. Therefore, the Bible says, for known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. He knows all the works of himself from the beginning of the world. Isn't it wonderful? He knows where you were born. He knows of the moment you're arrested, brought to the knowledge of sin and hopelessness, guilt. He knows the moment, the time where you were found, the finding time, or I don't know what to say in English, you know what I'm saying. He knows the hour when you pass away. He knows where you were born, dear friend. And he knows where you will die. It's in God's counsel. Ephesians, Acts 15, and Ephesians 1:11, according to which decree he gracious, and now we come to the practical thing. In the first place, we're all enemies. We're obstinate. Obstinate is full of enmity against God and Christ. We are wicked. If you read this article, but do you know what happens when God comes with grace? It's wonderful. He softens your heart. He takes away your stony heart. And now tell me, how did he soften your heart? Tell me if you know it. How he softened your heart. Can you? Your hard heart, your stony heart. Who did he work giving you a fleshly heart? Sensitive, softened. Do you know? Do you see that it's experimental? I've said it several times, but let me say it again then for those who forgot it. The law bends you, makes you bow. And if it's only a work of the law, when the difficulties are over, you're standing again against God. It's like the mast of a ship. It bends a bit. Pharaoh, he bended a bit under the law. And when he had said, I'll let you go, he didn't do it. He hardened his heart, and then God hardened his heart, says the Bible. The law hardens your heart if it's only the law. Therefore, our people said, it's like a dog in the fire of a blacksmith. When he got a young dog, but when he had been there for, let's say, a year or two, it doesn't bother him anymore. And the smith is working. The fire. The law hardens your heart. May I pass it how you didn't even tell what, how he softens your heart. When the law makes you bending, one drop of love breaks you. You know, when you feel it, when you know that you have sinned against the goodness of God. And Peter wept bitterly. He had such a hard heart, he said, no cross, no cross, no suffering. and he cursed his Lord. But now tell me, how was his heart softened? Tell me. The Lord Jesus looked at him and he said, I still love you, Peter. I'm standing here in your spot, Peter. And I've already prayed for you that your faith wouldn't end. If I always said to my children, I'm always looking for that day, and I've always looked in the past if God would break their hearts. See, promises, you make 1,000 promises, and you don't do it anyways. But if God by love breaks your heart, you need Christ. And he inclines your heart to believe. Is that not practical theology? Is that not the experience of the children of God? And he doesn't do it one time. See, what the prodigal never expected was that the father kissed him. Do you know what he thought? It's over and out with me. You know what I'm preaching, eh? Has ever God's love touched and broken your heart, dear friend? I know he did. But where is it today? And if there is true repentance, in English it said is sorrow, a godly sorrow for repentance, that's always accompanied with faith. And therefore in the Bible you see always two things, repentance and faith. God does do the one and he does give the other as a gift. Faith in Christ. That moment I first believed, he took away your sorrow and clothed you with joy, isn't it? And I know I have witnesses here, otherwise I couldn't even preach it. If I had to go and preach for all stony hearts, my heart would be stony while preaching. But I know you are broken hearts. May I ask, are you hardened again? Why? Why are you? Under the law again? May I ask you, when did you taste the love of Christ last time? When did he look at you, you sinner? Do you know what's another thing? Judas, he didn't stare and look at. Do what you have to do. Oh. Therefore, as Psalter says, shine upon us once more and we will be saved. Once more, Lord. Break us. And if you're really broken, and now I have a question for a broken soul, if God wouldn't allow you to be his child, what have you to say then? Nothing. But I heard a child of God, he says, and if he would throw me in hell, I would still praise him. He said, you can't do that in hell, you won't be in hell. No, you can't do that in hell. And see, sometimes people speak about a broken heart. I always ask for the fruits. If there's a real broken heart, then you accept judgment, then your mouth is stopped. And if you accept judgment, he comes and finds you, for he seeks the lost and saves them. That moment I first believed. But others he led them. They are pulled by the devil to hell. Their obstinate heart fights with God, arrest election, and say election is wrong and I'm not and they fight with God about the decree of election. But election and reprobation is not God sent you to hell, you have sent yourself to hell, and God doesn't prevent it. It's your own way, your own decision, and your own sin, and you will come here unless God stops you. Therefore I'm preaching. And I hope the Lord will give me some time to preach. It's my pleasure, and it's God's pleasure to preach for broken-hearted sinners a consolation in the eternal love of God in Christ. For by grace you're saved and done out of you. It's a gift of God, free gift of God. And congregation, is God allowed to do it? And now I'm coming back to the beginning, and I said, if God had only been righteous to us, we all are going to hell. That's our choice. And by nature, we continue in that choice. You might be a bit religious and say, no, I'm not doing it, and I make a decision, and all your decisions are going down the drain. But God's decisions, dear, open it, are above our thoughts, are eternal, and God doesn't change. The decree of election and reprobation revealed in the Word of God, which though man of perverse, impure and unstable minds wrest it, turn it to their own destruction. And now I end, and now we go home. Yet to holy and pious souls affords this election an unspeakable consolation, an unspeakable consolation, unspeakable consolation. Amen. Let's pray. To thee be the honor. And if thou would leave me, it's my own fault, but thou hast said, I'll never leave nor forsake you. It's grace. If thou would give up with me, I have to condemn myself. But thou hast said, I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. It's my choice to save you. It wasn't yours. And that's right, Lord. I didn't want even to be saved. I didn't want even to be a child of thee. I fought with the election in my life. I said, that's not righteous. And I didn't understand. That's grace alone. If it's not election, there is no grace. Oh, poor I, forgive me, and my congregation, fighting with thee. Break their hearts, please. My love, remember us next week in our endeavors at businesses, at farms, at schools. Our young people, Lord, break their hearts, please, that they may go with Peter outside in darkness and weep because they have sinned against thee, and comfort them with the comfort that's in Christ, by the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We ask it for thy own name's sake, Lord, for thy own glory, for thy own mercy's sake, in Christ. Amen. Let's sing the end 4, 4, 6, 3 and 4, 4, 4, 6, 3 and 4, where we will sing together, 4, 4, 6, 3 and 4, where we will sing together. I wait for God to hide me, my soul with a longing stirred shall hope, whatever betide me, in his unfailing word. And what's following? that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.